Hi, hello. It's Josh Bowe for Pod Maverick, one of the many editors also at MavsMoneyBall.com, coming to you with another edition of Pod Maverick After Dark, this time a victorious edition. Mavericks beat the Portland Trail Blazers 100-93 in Portland. West Coast game, so it is already well past, it is not actually well past midnight. It's 11:42 local time, which is actually not bad. I was anticipating this game taking us past midnight into Sunday afternoon. If you are watching us live or watching on YouTube, you can obviously tell I'm by myself. No Kirk Henderson tonight. He should be back Monday. Literally his entire household is getting COVID, so he needed the night off. I mean, you know, Kirk, he was ready to record and it was like, there's got to be a limit, and I think Kirk missed, depending on how you view it, a good one to miss. This was a really ugly, ugly, nasty game, and it was hard to watch at times. I've said this before, but I view the NBA through the prism of the Mavericks. I am just not in a space in my life anymore where I can watch a ton of games from other teams. You know, in my early 20s, my mid-20s, I would literally just watch every game that was on that I could. I would get league pass, and if I wasn't really doing anything, which was often, I would just turn on a game and I would watch a team. So I would watch a lot of teams and I would kind of get a good sense of a lot of these teams. I don't do that anymore. I watch the Mavs and I watch the few national TV games that I can. So basically I my opinion of the NBA is through the Mavericks. And like I've said this before, and I think Kirk said this before, it leads me to believe a lot of these teams stink, because the Mavericks entered this game 23-50. The Blazers entered this game 37-37, winners five of their last six. And I think the broadcast set a scoring margin in those six games of about plus 13 points per game. And the Blazers looked horrible. Like, if you would have told me the Blazers were the ones that were 23-50, I would have believed it, because they looked ghastly. The Mavericks did what they did. They played hard. They stuck to what they do well, which is attacking the paint ferociously, scoring at the bucket, and then just trying hard. It helps that they finally played an offensive team, maybe, I don't know if I want to say worse, but potentially worse than them. If you look at the Mavericks' schedule, they've gone against teams that are way better than them offensively. And it's led to a lot of games where, even if the Mavericks have been playing well and they've actually been shooting the ball pretty well, both from two and from three for like the last, I feel like the last two or three weeks, they've been pretty good, but their defense can't guard. They've been like a wet paper bag on defense. Now they finally met a team where it didn't matter how bad their defense was. Like, the Blazers are an abhorrent offensive team. They shot 39% from the floor, 27% from three, and they had 25 team turnovers. Like, just truly, truly awful. And to Mavericks' credit, they played hard and forced Portland into a lot of this. But Portland was, I mean, the unforced turnovers from Portland was ridiculous. But the Mavericks also had an astonishing 12 steals and five blocks. If you're getting 17 combined blocks and steals in a game, you're probably going to win. And the Mavericks did. The Mavericks converted fairly well in the paint. They had 52 points in the paint, which is right around their season average. And the big thing you'll notice if you look at the shot chart, so they scored well in the paint. You know, they didn't shoot terribly well in the paint, but they scored well. They got there enough. And they also had 11 total corner three attempts. And they were six of 11 on corner threes. 11 corner three attempts is a lot, especially for this team. And that tells me that they were driving the ball really well, because where do you get a lot of corner threes? Attacking the paint, forcing the help defense, kicking it to the weak side corner. And the Mavericks did that a lot tonight. Brandon Williams, Cooper Flagg, even Ryan Nimhard, I thought were really good at touching the paint and distributing the ball. We'll start with the two main reasons why the Mavericks won, Cooper Flagg and Marvin Bagley. We'll start with Cooper Flagg, because why not? Not as efficient a shooting game as I think he probably would have liked. He was 9-17 from the floor, which isn't bad, 0-1 from three. But he kind of faded a little bit in the fourth quarter, but got to the free throw line six times and had four steals, made a huge, huge defensive play toward the end of the game, basically breaking up a lob attempt from Denny Avdia to Donovan Clingan. I think when the Mavericks were up either five, like somewhere, they were up somewhere between 2 to 5 points with under like a minute remaining when Flagg made that play. And Flagg actually, I think, had another steal in the fourth, if I remember right. But this was a really good disruptive defensive game for Flagg, along with, you know, scoring 24 points on 17 shots, which is pretty good. He only had two assists because the Mavericks couldn't shoot at all tonight. Three turnovers, which is eh. But again, another completely solid game from him. He was 5 of 6 in the restricted area, 2 of 5 in the paint, Cooper was. And the Blazers are a good defensive team. Donovan Clingan's a good rim protector. So for Cooper to go 7 of 11 in the paint tonight, that's pretty good against this Portland team. And then the other big reason why they won, Marvin Bagley, season high, 26 points. Mavericks, career high, 26 points on 11 of 14 shooting. He was 3 of 5 from 3. Clingan is a very cement-shoed center. And he wanted nothing to do with chasing Bagley out to the three-point line. And Bagley had a couple open threes because Clingan just didn't want to leave the paint. And Bagley made him. He had 9 rebounds, 3 assists. And the threes are easy to point to, but it wasn't the threes that impressed me with Bagley. The thing that impressed me with Bagley was his speed. He made Donovan Clingan, who is a top 10 pick, having a good season, will get a handsomely paid extension whenever he's due for that, having a good season. And he had, 17 rebounds in this game. Bagley made him. So what I'm trying to say is Clingan's clearly not like a stiff. Like he has some draft pedigree. He's talented. He's had a good season. Bagley made him look like one of those end of the bench centers that teams used to carry on their roster back in the early 2000s, just so they could have 6 extra fouls for Shaq. Your Pavel Podzolny, I can't remember the Russian guy, Evan Eschmeyer, if you remember on the Mavericks, DJ Benga. Remember all those, and teams used to have two of those guys because it's like, well, we need someone to foul Shaq or soak up fouls on Shaq. And teams would employ like third and fourth string centers that should have never had stepped foot on an NBA court, just because they needed it for Shaq, the way the game was played and the way Shaq played the game back then. Bagley made Clingan look like one of those guys just with his speed, the way he was able to get up off the floor to the rim before Clingan could even like react, made Clingan look like he was from the Stone Age. Like, it was absurd. Bagley completely embarrassed him, dominated him with his speed and his quickness all night. And then Clingan had an embarrassing game. I mean, he was 2 of 9 with your 7-footer being 2 of 9 from the floor. He had 5 turnovers. Just a really bad game, and Bagley just whipped his ass. Bagley played 26 points in 27 minutes. I mean, pretty much every minute Bagley was on the floor, he was doing something, and he was running circles around Clingan, so much so that I'm doubting, I've heard smart NBA people tell me Clingan is good and is having a good season, and obviously one game doesn't invalidate that, but the way I was watching that game, it was shocking how much faster the ball into the basket Bagley was when being in proximity to Clingan. So those two guys are clearly the main reason why the Mavericks won. Kind of fun in the sense of there'll probably be some Mavs fans disappointed the Mavericks won, the Tank Commander fans. But the Mavericks didn't really win this game with their vets. PJ Washington played 27 minutes and only had 5 points and didn't play a ton in the fourth quarter. Klay Thompson only had 18 minutes and 7 points. He didn't play barely at all in the fourth quarter. Chris Middleton didn't play. Daniel Gafford didn't play. The only real vet that did stuff was Najee Marshall, who in 33 minutes had 19 points, shot decently from the field, had 5 steals, 3 assists. But other than that, I mean, it was Cooper, who obviously is your foundation. It was Bagley, who maybe isn't not a young prospect anymore, but is still new and represents something different and could be on this roster for another 2 to 3 years, and it wouldn't feel that out of place when building around Cooper Flagg. Ryan Nimhard had a productive enough 12 minutes, even though he didn't score in terms of orchestrating the offense. Had a killer defensive possession against Denny Advia that unfortunately the Mavericks overhelped on at the end. And then Brandon Williams in his 20 minutes, his stat line doesn't look incredible. 10 points on 6 shots, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. He outplayed Scoot Henderson. So again, it's not like it was Chris Middleton, Clay Thompson, Daniel Gafford, PJ Watt. It's not like it was all these vets that were doing it. And I know the Mavericks don't have a ton of young prospects, especially at the level, youth level of Cooper Flagg. But the Mavericks played a lot of guys. They played Tyler Smith, played 9 minutes. AJ Johnson got 10 minutes. Like, if you want the Mavericks to lose this game, I'm not really sure what else they could have done besides just benching anyone with a pulse and playing AJ Johnson like 30 minutes, which is just not happening. We're not going to see that. Maybe we'll see that in the last week of the regular season. We're not going to see it right now. So yeah, I came away from this game, didn't really learn anything new about the Mavericks. They play hard. They go to the basket as much as they can. Cooper Flagg's awesome. All those check boxes were scratched off tonight. And then I came away from this game thinking that the Trailblazers are an awful, I mean, I don't even know if they're fraudulent. I don't think you could be 37-38 and be fraudulent. But man, that team is bad. That was not a good team the Mavericks played tonight. Maybe the Blazers are better than this. I presume they are if they have 37 wins on the season. But this was bad. Advia, Klingon, and Jrue Holiday combined, those three starters alone combined for 14 turnovers. Just bad. Scoot Henderson was awful. Brandon Williams outplayed him, like significantly outplayed him, which is not good for the Scoot Henderson believers, which I was when he was coming into that draft. I was a believer in Scoot. But the Blazers just, they don't have any shooting. Tumani Kamara, Klingon, their bench, there's just no shooters coming off the bench. Scoot's not a good shooter. Matisse Thybulle's a terrible shooter. Like, so much of their shooting is on Advia and Holiday and Jeremy Grant. And Advia didn't make a 3 in 3 attempts, and Jrue Holiday was 3 of 9 from 3. Grant was 2 of 4. Grant was actually somewhat productive offensively, but he only played 29 minutes and only had 8 shot attempts, which was interesting. He did get to the free throw line 12 times. But yeah, I thought the Mavericks played well. I don't know what to take from this other than they keep playing hard. And again, the thing that just kept standing out to me was Bagley's speed when compared to Klingon. I mean, it was eye opening how much faster Bagley was than Klingon, which I don't know if that's Klingon. You know, Klingon is a big, slow plotting center who's taking up space. So the Mavericks took advantage of that in a lot of ways with the roster that they could do it with Bagley. I mean, even Powell was getting this to some ball, loose balls quicker than Klingon was. So, all in all, again, I know Mavs fans are going to be disappointed. The tanking people are going to be disappointed the Mavericks won, but they weren't going to lose every game to close the season. Some fun little stats to close it out, because I'm tired. I don't think I can solo pod for that much longer. The Mavericks are now 10-27, it looks like, on the road. Their last 4 wins on the season have all been on the road. So 4 of their 10 road wins have happened since, I think, the end of February, so about a month. They haven't won a home game since January 22nd, which is just going to show was they are an awful road team, yet their last 4 wins have all been on the road, and then this most recent one, and this against a good team. They had a road win at Cleveland to get another team better than them. It's just funny how things work out. I was just floored. The fact that the Mavericks haven't won a home game since January 22nd. And again, a lot of that is because they haven't played that many home games since January 22nd. But still, the fact that they've managed the wins that they managed to claw out have all been on the road is just kind of funny when you think about how bad this team has looked on the road a lot this season. So I got to 15 minutes. I'm going to call it. No post show for me. The Mavericks play again. Let me do this on air. The Mavericks play again Monday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's going to be a home game. And then the Mavericks go right back on the road again Tuesday night to play Milwaukee. So yeah, Monday, Minnesota, that should be fun. Minnesota is they're weird. Some nights they look great. Sometimes they look awful. So we'll see what the Mavericks have in store for them. For everyone else, thanks for listening late on a Friday night. We appreciate it more than we can express at times. Listen to the ads for us. Best way to support the show. And fun game. It was a competitive. It was ugly. Portland should be regulated, honestly, after that game with how bad their offense looked. But apparently that's kind of a thing for the Trailblazers. They're pretty bad offense no matter who they play. And the Mavericks got a win. And they were bound to get one here or there. So that's going to do it for me, Josh Bow, for Pod Maverick. Please check out MavsWinningBall.com for all your post-game needs. We've got stories up concerning the NCAA tournament that's going on, and you know, players that we like and draft prospects and all that good stuff. So check out the site. There's a lot going on. And I'll talk to you guys later. Have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Again, Josh Bow for Pod Maverick After Dark. Mavericks win 193, and we'll talk to you guys later.